We are continuing in our series, This Family of Like Precious Faith, talking about this church that we're seeing Peter speak to in the book of 2 Peter in continuation from the book of 1 Peter. So, in the book of 2 Peter, we're going to be in chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. And this is going to be the lesson number 10. And this title might not make a whole lot of sense to you as on its face, but as we go through the lesson, it will begin to be made more clear to you. But the lesson is lesson number 10. This family witnesses darkness in the daytime. This family witnesses darkness in the daytime. Let's go ahead and read the verses, and we will get into the lesson. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. We'll read down to verse 14. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetousness, practices cursed children. I'll draw your attention to verse 13. And there's a specific phrase in verse 13 that lends to where we're going to be driving this lesson today. And it is this phrase right here. As they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. And that is where we get the title of the lesson, which again is This Family Witnesses Darkness in the Daytime. Because we're looking here at the book of 2 Peter, obviously. We've been here for several weeks. This is lesson 10. And what we have to remember in the big picture of this series, this is Peter, the Peter that you know, talking to a church about things that they are seeing and what they are dealing with. And to this end, I will start here, I guess, by way of illustration. Who here likes old TV shows? Now, yes. Now, I'm not talking old like The Office. I guess that's 10 years old now. I've got my Office mug that Suzanne got me in the office in there. I've got another Office mug from the same family in my house as well. That's a good show, and I'm whatever, you know. But I'm not talking about old shows like that. I'm talking about way back in the day, like 40s, 50s, black and white shows like that. Who here has ever heard of the show I Love Lucy? Everyone here has. That was a very popular show. I still watch it sometimes. I've got Pluto at home, and I like those old shows because, you know, those old shows, they don't really have political agendas. And they were based more, they weren't based in morality, but they had certain constraints on them that you just don't see today. You turn your TV on today and you really can't watch any of the stuff that's on there. Not much of it anyway. Now, there's not all bad in the TV world, I don't believe that, but enough of it's bad, I have to be highly, highly discerning with what I turn on. And I think it's a fair statement. But back then, you really didn't have that problem. You look at I Love Lucy and you look at that show, and I've been watching some of this recently, and you have Ricky Ricardo, Desi Arnaz, he sleeps in one bed. And you have Lucille Ball sleeps in another bed on the set of the TV show. There's no curse words. There's no inappropriate humor. There's no concepts that kids can't handle. It's all fairly innocent stuff. And you move to today, what does the TV look like? Not nearly. They glorify homosexuality. They glorify transgenderism. They glorify all the things that the Bible says is ungodly and that we should be avoiding, and we continue to pour our money into this. Now, is this a lesson on not watching TV? No, sir. No, it's not. But here's what I want us to consider. You look at the TV today, And it's, can we agree that it's largely lascivious and wicked?
Sure.
Okay. You look at the TV 70 years ago, can we agree that it was not? Largely, yes, it was not. They weren't even allowed to say the word pregnant on TV. They had to say the word expecting, which they appropriated a little bit of culture. They made Des Arnaz say spected because they thought it'd be funnier for him to say it that way. But nonetheless, so it was much more pure and easy to watch here. But here's something that you may know, but you may not know. Do you know Des Arnaz was an absolute scumbag in his private life? There was a report of this man at one point, and this is, you have to laugh or else you'd cry, but he was such a scumbag. During the height of the popularity of that show, when he was making all this money, there was one time he was reported, he bought a hotel room, and he had 18 prostitutes in that room. And he was sitting there drunk as a skunk, and he was singing Babaloo to 18 prostitutes. Can I ask you a question? Is TV here as bad as that in reality? I think it's right in line, okay? But what causes this outwardly is allowing people to think like this inwardly.
Right.
You see, we look back in those times and we glorify those times as being a purer culture. I submit to you, I don't know that it was. I think the heart of man at that time was permitted to be sinful and wicked because Christ was completely removed from the situation. And that it was only a matter of time when you got from, and I'm just putting a pin on time here, it could have happened at any time, but let's just use the 40s. At this time, man was largely not Christ-centered in our history.
Right.
Okay? And so the morality, the benefits of morality got us going along, but then all of a sudden people stopped seeing the benefits because they weren't anchoring it to Jesus Christ. And so this inward sin that they were allowing in their hearts, in their private lives, that was not allowed on screen, over time came over to here, where now it's just happening in the daytime. It's happening out in the open. What causes this? Sin in the heart over there. And through the period of time, what happens? It eventually works its way out. Because we know holiness is not something you put on. Holiness is an inward grace that works its way out. Likewise, a lascivious and a riotous heart is the same way. You can put on for a little bit. Everyone can put on a dress. Everyone can put on a nice suit, look nice, smile good, and do all those things. But what is in here is eventually going to work its way out into your life. And when you multiply that by our entire society, what you're going to see is we have become a family who witnesses darkness in the daytime. Does that make sense? A heart that is rebellious against God will soon be a heart that draws people to sin openly and without shame. In the entertainment industry, I use as an illustration because that is the gauge for our society. What we permit to be on our TVs is what is in our hearts. I would even say, based on what we had here, what we permit on our TVs isn't even as bad as what's in our hearts.
Right.
Look at the difference. Look at what was on the TV here versus what was in the heart. This is what's on the TV here. Who knows what's in the heart for the next coming years? That's a sobering thought when we think about it. We cannot deal with this inner darkness in our own power. We need to trust the Lord, and we need to learn how to commit all to Him. Through faith in Christ, we have been delivered out of that darkness into His light. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, because today, in this lesson, looking at this section of 2 Peter, we're going to examine this darkness that Peter's talking about. And we're going to learn how to spot it within ourselves, as well as those around who we love. So what are the hopes? What are we trying to accomplish today in learning? Lesson aims. Number one, we want to learn this, to see that we are living in a world where sinful behavior is being conducted without shame, to understand that all wickedness around us has at its heart rebellion against God and against authority, to learn that we must not try to deal with the darkness in our own power, but run to the Lord and commit all to Him, and fourthly, to be reminded that through faith in Christ, we have been delivered out of the darkness into His light and can live in His light. Now, at the risk of having the lesson be boring to you, I've given all of you this information ahead of time. This is not a sermon. This is a Bible study. I want you to have this information as soon as possible to contextualize what we're talking about. So, to that end, we will dive right in. So, I have a couple of points here for you. So, let's break these verses down. So, let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's start there. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. So what's the first thing we see? This darkness. What is it about this darkness we need to be mindful of? Number one, this darkness mocks at authority. This darkness that has the potential to work in us, it mocks authority. How does it mock authority? Well, it lives a certain lifestyle that is completely against authority. How do these people act? These people that are going against authority, what do they look like? How do they behave? What do they do? Well, we're looking at this. Number one, we'll see the first thing that they do is this. They have a lifestyle of being unclean. Unclean. What do you mean by that? Well, here's specifically what I mean. I don't mean that they don't shower or they look gross. There are some people that are like that live this lifestyle. But you know what? There are some preachers that live this lifestyle. There are some people who know how to put on a tie, do their hair just right, you know, all the things to make themselves look the part. They look like a lawyer. They're just so crisp and clean, and they know exactly what to do and what to say. But inside their heart, they're completely unclean. Here's how that is described. It is having a desire for the disgusting. Having a desire for the disgusting. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11. This is a good picture of this. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? If there is more hope of a fool than of him. That is the picture. They have a desire for the disgusting. You see that dog, and in your home, and who here has a dog? Raise your hand if you have a dog. I have a dog. It's my dog. It's not my wife's dog. She does not claim that dog. She does not own that dog. She doesn't even look at that dog. But I have a dog that she purchased and then decided that now it's my dog. I have a She has two cats. I have a dog. But I have a dog, and you know, that thing is the cutest animal. You look in that thing's face, and the way it looks at you, it's just pure love in that dog's eyes, right? And you think, oh, isn't that just sweet? Isn't that wonderful? Mike has two big dogs. Those things are beautiful. All kinds of things. You know, these dogs, we love them, don't we? They're our pets. They're part of our life. But there's a dividing line. It's when you see them do that thing that dogs do. Right? Where they go, blip, and then what do? That's a disgusting picture, isn't it? And that makes me think, okay, maybe I want your face over there, right? So maybe you're still a dog. I love you. I love you, but you're still a dog. I'll keep your face over here, right? And we look at that dog, and it's like, it's just disgusting. But, you know, we kind of do the same thing with our sin. And that's what this person does. They have a desire for that vomit, that sin. That's the picture of sin, you understand? That vomit on the ground, it stinks. It makes the whole room smell rancid. You look at it, and it ruins your carpet, and it's disgusting, and it's vile. You don't want to touch it. If you get it on your hands, it makes you feel weird. That is the sin that these people run to. Yeah. That's what they run to. They have a desire for the disgusting. You can do that wearing a suit. You know that? Sure. You can do that wearing a dress. You can do that having everything done up perfectly on the outside, being whited sepulchers on the inside full of dead men's bones. You understand? You can be that. These people have a desire for the unclean. But they don't just have a desire for the unclean. They are also, get this number two, they are presumptuous. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. But verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they. It means that they are failing to observe the limits of what is appropriate. These are the people, and we see these types of people in church. We have drawn a line, and every church has their own line. And if you, look, if you can't reconcile with the line that a church draws, either get right or get out and go to a church that you can reconcile with, okay? But the lines that are drawn in a church, you see these people, they always want to do this. Let's say this right here is the line. That's the line of appropriate. They do this as much as they can. And not just in the church, but outside of the church. But these people, they are presumptuous. They do not observe the limits of what is appropriate. They're always pushing, they're always seeking, they're always trying to get just a little bit more out of a situation or push just a little bit too far just to see how far they can go before somebody stops them. It's psychopathic behavior. They're unclean in their hearts. They're presumptuous in their hearts and their behavior. They are, get this, they're stubborn. They're stubborn. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They're stubborn, obstinately doing what one wants despite the wishes or orders of others. They are self-willed. You tell them to go left and they go right. You tell them to go up and they go down. You tell them to stop and they start. You tell them to start and they stop. They're self-willed. This darkness, this dark person is a self-willed person. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So that speaks of their end. But this person is a stubborn person. They're obstinate. They do not want to do what they're told to do. Now, I'm not against avoiding bad counsel. I'm not against that. If somebody tells you something that's just patently unwise and you know it's going to cause spiritual... I'm not against that. I'm not saying you blindly follow the leaders in your life. What I am saying is that if you have a pattern of just habitually not doing anything that you're told or kicking against the pricks, as the New Testament refers to it, if you have a pattern of that in your heart, that's not a good thing. The Bible is against that, and these people are just, that's how they live. And what is this all built on? Well, not what is this all built on, but what is that third point built on? We've seen that they're unclean, they're presumptuous, they're stubborn, but they're not just those things, they're disrespectful. They're disrespectful. Verse 10 also says, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now, a dignity, I'm not talking about a false dignity. I think our president's a false dignity, okay? I'm not trying to be unkind to the man. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the man. I don't think he is what the Bible would define as a dignity. He does not have that. And that doesn't mean that we disrespect his office, but the Bible here is speaking about somebody that is truly, truly an honorable person who really is in all areas above reproach. And in those types of people, this dark person who mocks authority, they've got no problem disrespecting that person. I've seen it here. I've had people come up to me and... It will happen one time because I am the assistant, and Pastor warned me that this was going to be the case. He said, you know, when I was the assistant, I'll tell you what I did. People would come up to me and try to tell me things that they didn't want the pastor to know. And I've had people come up to me, and they've said things about the pastor in a negative light. And the first thing I say is, hey, listen, whatever you tell me, I'm going to go tell him. So it... You need to know that what you just said, I'm going to share with them. And then all of a sudden, that person doesn't want to talk to me anymore. Right? It's funny how that works. But they these are people out there. They're disrespectful. They speak evil against the high and honorable rank or position. And that's the character. That's the darkness here. It mocks authority. It completely mocks authority. They live unclean in their hearts. Sometimes they live unclean out of their hearts. They are presumptuous. They are stubborn. They are completely self-willed. And they are disrespectful to authority. That is an element of this darkness. This darkness mocks authority. So if you have any of this going on in your life, look, it's easy for me to preach to the ones out there who aren't in this room, isn't it? But I'm talking to you. If this is character, if this is a character issue that you have, remove it. It's not good for you. This darkness is going to mock authority, and you don't want that in your life. You don't want to work against God. So number two, we see here. Go with me to verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. That takes us to point number two. Number one, this darkness mocks authority. Number two, this darkness, second element of it, it ignores the example of angels. It ignores the example of angels. Go with me now to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I'm going to annoy Pastor here. Ready? Chapter 103. Oh, he's smiling back there at me. Look at him. Psalm 103. That's the answer to your question. Yeah. Well, I normally don't unless I want to get under his skin. So that's what I've done. Love you, Pastor. All right. Psalm 103. And I haven't told you the verse yet because I want to leg up on you. All right. Psalm 103, verse 20. This actually gives us a lot of insight into angels. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that, what do? Excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So here's what we see here. When we go to the book of 2 Peter, these dark, shadowy people who we are referring to. Hopefully you're not one of them, right? They're disrespectful to authorities. And Peter's using angels as an example of the opposite. Because the angels are unbelievably powerful, unbelievably wise, and very knowledgeable of the character of God and what he wants. Way far and above any capabilities physically that you and I have. In every instance that an angel entreats a person in the Bible, the first thing they have to say is, fear not, because they are such an intimidating force. Yet, not these angels don't make accusation against dignities to the Lord. They don't even do it. So why should we do it? We should not. And we see these angels have a certain character to them. Number one, angels, like I said, they are unbelievably strong. Number two, we see that angels, and get this, they are obedient. We really, I mean, if we're being honest with ourselves, and I'm not talking about you, the individual, I'm talking about people. People generally are only as obedient as their options. That's generally what it is. I've worked with people like this, where they are for the company, they love the company, they're never going to leave the company, and then all of a sudden, they get offered another position. Bye! You know, we'll see you later. I'll take the 35% increase, please. We've all been there, and that's an innocent version of that. But you know, you take that to your life. That's kind of how we are in our relationships too, aren't we? People generally speaking, are only as faithful as their options. Countering to that, angels are obedient to the Lord exclusively, and they have less reason to be so. Because they are so much more powerful than us. I'll put it in another way that makes more sense. It makes so much more sense that we would be more obedient to God. Because we have so much less to offer generally than the angels do. And we have less closeness to him than the angels do from a proximity perspective. So, if anything, you would think that they would be the ones that would be more apt to disobey. They're the ones with power. We don't have any power. We have none. We have to use tools for practically everything that we do. Everything that we do. We need some kind of an accommodation. Angels don't need any of that. Angels are strong. Angels are obedient. But get this, angels are also wise. They're wise. They're well read. Go with me to Psalm 103, verse 20 one more time. Look at this. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Where do they get that? I understand they don't have a Bible in their setting as we do today, but they spend their time trying to understand the character of God. And that is something that we need to be looking after. Like, that's our example. We need to be looking to be wise like angels. We need to be looking to be obedient like angels. We need to be looking to be strong like angels for the Lord. And that's the example that the Bible gives us. And this darkness completely ignores that example. They are physically off doing their own thing. They are completely disobedient to their father and to the authority. And they are also unwise. Even if they sound wise, they're actually, biblically, very unwise. So number one, we see this darkness mocks authority. Number two, we see this darkness ignores the example of angels. Let's look at number three. Go with me to verse 12 of 2 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. So number three. This darkness makes them act like animals. Literally animals. What is the characteristic of this animal we're talking about? Well, number one, we see this. They speak evil of truth. They speak evil of truth. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. What is the thing they don't understand? They don't understand truth. They don't understand purity. They don't understand God's word. What else does this darkness make? This animalistic behavior, what does it look like? They riot in the daytime. Verse 13. And shall receive the reward of the unrighteous, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. So this riotous behavior, I liken it unto a rave or something to that effect, where these people are just out there, out in the open. You know what else we can liken it to? The whole month of June in this country, amen? Pride Month, it's disgusting to me. Now, the souls of those homosexuals, I believe, can be redeemed, and I have no hate in my heart towards those people. Right. I want to be very, very clear about that. But the culture of perversion that is causing them to just try to get their hands into every little thing is disgusting to me. I work for a company, and I'm not afraid to say this here, and I know this is recording, and I would even say maybe I hope one of them watches something like this, but I work for a company that just goes headlong into this stuff. Headlong. Everything is pride-related. Everything is pride. Everything is LGBTQAI++. I don't know how many letters at this point. But they do it in the daytime. They are parading through our streets. I'm sorry, when was the last time your sexual preferences had anything to do with me? Mine have nothing to do with you. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what these people want. These dark, and they're not the only dark people, you understand what I'm saying. But that's an example of these people who want to riot in the daytime. They have a heart towards it. And I'm not going to spend 15 minutes up here apologizing for how broken these people are. We know that they're broken, but you know what? They're still in sin. And they do need a Savior. But they need to be told the truth that what you're doing is wicked and wrong and vile and against God, and it's against nature, and it's against anything that's healthy for you or what God wants. But these people, they riot in the daytime. That's a great example of that. They riot in the daytime. Down that line, we see this. Thirdly, they wear that sin like a badge of honor. Spots they are, and blemishes, look at this, sporting themselves with their own deceivings. They wear that sin like a badge of honor. Again, using as an example, that pride pin, that pride flag that they drape over their shoulders, they wear that like they're representing God. They're so proud of it. And not only is it that, but these people, and again, this is not specific to the homosexual community, this is darkness in general, but these people that are in this darkness, you know what else they do? They demand a seat at the table, don't they? They demand a seat at the table. Where do I get that? Look here. Verse 13, one more time. Sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. It is, okay. Ricky Ricardo over here playing the innocent musician husband, in reality living a despicable lifestyle, 70 years down the road, becomes this. Why do I have to hide that part of myself? It's the most important part. I want a seat at the table too, is what it eventually turns into. They demand to be acknowledged, but not just acknowledged, acknowledged as acceptable. And the Bible says no. And so do I. They demand to be acknowledged. Now, I find this interesting. Go with me to verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin. I find it interesting. You know, they speak evil of truth. They riot in the daytime. They wear their sin like a badge of honor. They demand to be acknowledged as acceptable. I find it interesting that the only physical sin that's referenced here is adultery, which means that these people are going to have a very sexual bent to how they behave and what they do. And that is an interesting thing to me, that most of this is fleshed out in the flesh, so to speak. And not only that, but we see this, lastly, for this darkness and how they act like animals. Verse 14, and this one is rather sad. Having eyes full of adultery, and get this, and that cannot cease from sin. They are, get this, listen to this, they are enslaved to their passions. Enslaved to their passions. And that is the heart that we ought to have when we look at this, any community that this defines. Obviously, we need to look at what they're doing as sinful and evil. Yes, it is, because it is. But what we also need to see on the other end of it is that this is a person who is sitting there bound by chains that they fashion to themselves that they have no hope to get out of on their own. And that is where the compassion comes in. And that is our job as the church, to go out there and tell them the truth. If somebody asked you what you think about homosexuality, don't be afraid to tell them. The Bible says that it is sin. And the Bible says that it is wrong. And because I'm a Christian, I believe the Bible. Amen. And because I believe the Bible, I believe what it says about things. And to the extent that you misalign with the Bible is the extent that I misalign with you. And also the extent that I misalign with the Bible, I misalign with myself. But you can't leave it there. We see, we've looked at the character of this darkness. This darkness mocks authority. This darkness ignores the example of angels. This darkness makes people act like animals. I think we have a pretty good picture of the character of what this darkness produces in the life of a person. But fourthly, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So fourthly, what do we see? This darkness can be removed with Jesus Christ. Amen? That is the only hope. Jesus Christ has complete power to wash all of that nonsense out of the life and the soul of a person. And not only does Jesus Christ have the power to completely wash that out of the soul of an unsaved person, Jesus Christ also has the power to wash it out of your life as well, because we get some dirt into us, don't we? We're not perfect. We're not completely clean. We've got some darkness in us. But Jesus Christ has the power to remove all of that from our lives and from their lives. So this darkness that we see that is draping like a dark cloud over our community, we're supposed to be the light. And we can be the light, and we should be the light. And that light is a perfect balance of grace and truth. We need to be able to tell these people that what they're doing is sinful. And I'm using it as an example, not just talking about homosexual community. Anyone like this. We need to be able to go out there, not here, not in these comfortable chairs, under the nice lights, with the big TVs, and all this nice stuff that we have. Not here, it's easy here. I'm saying going out there, telling them, look, this is what the Bible condemns you to be. This is what Christ did for you on the cross. This is the new life that you could have if you repent and believe. That is the message that we have to be going out there telling people. This darkness can be removed. And not only will this darkness remove that, or will this blood of Jesus remove that darkness, it's the only thing that can. Here's what we like to do. We like to watch news channels and go on the social media and complain about it. We like to go on there and find liberals on social media and fuss and fight and complain with them. Completely forgetting that these people do not have the Holy Spirit within them and don't even have the capacity to logically reason what's in this Bible. That's not what they need. And I've been guilty of it, and I'm sure some of you maybe have been guilty of that as well. We get mad. I recognize, I understand that, because you want to do what's right, and you're angry because you see so much wrong out there. But I'm telling you, that's not what they need. What they need is the gospel preached to them. To have somebody answer some basic Bible questions. You have any idea how many people are tripped up because they can't logically reconcile something that is very easy in the Bible? Something that to them is just like this big tongue twister that they don't think any preacher could actually figure out. And we studied that 10 years ago. We figured that out right away because we actually read our Bibles, amen. And then we have the answers for them that can help them reconcile these things. And we don't go. And we don't tell them. Because here's what we privately do, and no one says this. But if this isn't you, don't get mad at me. I'm just saying, generally speaking, culturally what we like to do is we like to stand back and thumb our noses just like those Pharisees did. And presume ourselves to be better than them. We are no better than them. Right. That's what we are if we don't have the Holy Spirit. Yes, this darkness can be removed with the light of Christ. So number one, we saw this. This darkness mocks authority. Number two, this darkness ignores the example of angels. Number three, we see this darkness makes them act like animals. But fourthly, and most importantly, this darkness can and will be removed by the light of Jesus Christ. So, that's how you know we're done. It says conclusion. A heart that is rebellious against God will soon be a heart that draws people to sin openly and without shame. We cannot deal with this inner darkness in our own power. We need to trust the Lord and commit all to Him. Through faith in Christ, we have been delivered out of the darkness into His light. That is the lesson. I have given you 3 minutes back. Don't spend them all in one place. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.